Today's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And blessed morning, I will greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are pressing on with the sermon series on spiritual gifts, and for those who join us recently, this is what we are doing. And after the service, you're always welcome to visit the ministry open house in the fellowship hall. And today we are going featuring the PCGM, the cell group ministry, men's ministry, ladies ministry, and also Christian care. And these are areas of ministry involvement and which require and hope to recruit the co-workers to join us. So let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we praise and thank you for the greatest privilege in this life to know Christ, to love Christ, and to serve Christ. Speak to us this day by your Holy Spirit, so that we will be inspired and empowered to live a life of grateful service. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a story of a town in the mountainous region in Italy that was famous for its wine. And the wine was famous because it was special. What's so special about this wine? Each family would harvest their own grapes. They would make their own wine according to their own family recipe. And they would bring the wine to the center of the town. There will be a huge, large container. They will pour the wine into the large container. And because of that, the flavor will be so unique that no commercial brewery will be able to replicate that taste. And whenever it was time to sell the wine, the merchants from all over the country would come together to buy the wine, and the profit will be distributed among the villagers. One year, however, the weather was bad. The harvest was bad. And one of the villagers decided that instead of contributing the wine to the centralized container, he would sell his wine elsewhere. And so, in order not to raise any suspicion, he filled his barrel with water and carried it to pretend to pour wine, but he was pouring water into that container so as not to raise any suspicion. And he believed that one barrel of water in that huge container would not make any difference at all to the quality of the wine. So it was that time of the year again for the merchants to come, and they were all gathering in anticipation together with the villagers to turn on the tap and to sell the wine. And when they turned on the tap, lo and behold, everything that came out, water. Just water. And it turned out that everybody had the same great idea. That in a time of bad harvest, bad weather, they all sold their wine elsewhere and they all poured water into the same common container. And the reputation of the town tarnished forever. They never recovered. You understand this parable? You can go and have coffee. Yeah. But I'm sure that you will stay on. Since the beginning of this sermon series, we have been talking about how we, each and every one of us, part of the one body of Christ, given at least one spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit to serve the body and build up the body of Christ. And just as every single villager must do his part, each and every one of us must do our part as well. Whether male or female, whether young or elderly, regardless of your season in life, regardless of your station in life, we do our part. And in order to fulfill such a theological vision, we can take reference from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and to understand two spiritual principles. The first spiritual principle is that we are recipients of grace. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Since the beginning of this chapter, we must remember and understand that the Apostle Paul has been talking about the unity in the one body of Christ and also oneness in the Spirit. And because of that unity and oneness in Christ and in the Spirit, each and every one of us are given grace to serve the one body of Christ. And the question to us is that, what is the basis by which this grace is given? You got that? What is the basis by which this grace is given to us? And the answer is through the victory of Christ. The victory of Christ, because this is what Paul tells us in verses 7 to 8. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." It speaks about the victory of Christ as the basis by which we receive grace. And to understand this verse, we go back to how this verse was first quoted and mentioned in the Old Testament. Psalm 68, verses 17 to 18 writes, "The chariots of God are tens of thousands, and thousands of thousands the Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train. You received gifts from men, even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord God, might dwell there." This is a psalm that calls out God to God to come and deliver, to come and rescue his people from their enemies. And when God had delivered his people, he went in victory, according to this picture, from Sinai to his sanctuary in Mount Zion, and the picture of God ascending the throne, and the picture of the victorious God ascending the throne and the captives being led in the train, in the procession. And as he ascended the throne, he received gifts from men. And in order to understand this kind of picture that is very foreign to us, we take reference from what happens in the ancient Near East. In those days when the king went into battle, he came back victorious. He will be received by a procession, a victory procession, and the victorious king will ascend his throne, and then the captives, the enemies, will be led in the procession in honor of that victory, and the victorious king will receive gifts and to give gifts from the bounties of war. That would be what happened in the ancient Near East. And the psalm, Psalm 68, speaks of that picture of a victorious king, a victorious God, who receive gifts and give gifts to men. So if we understand God's victory in Psalm 68, we begin to make a very important connection. The connection between God's victory and Christ's victory. God's victory in Psalm 68 and Christ's victory in Ephesians chapter 4. And the connection is that Christ's victory as a messianic fulfillment of God's victory. In other words, the Apostle Paul saw in Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension a victory over sin, over death, over evil. And because of Christ's victory, he bestows gifts to the church, to his people. That is the connection between Psalm 68 and Ephesians chapter 4. That is the connection between God's victory and Christ's victory. That is the connection between God giving gifts and Christ giving gifts. Therefore, as God's people, we must realize the theological significance to grasp the grandeur of Christ's victory. Because when we realize the grandeur of Christ's victory, we can go forth to become recipients of his grace. Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, he once told a story. A king was touring his kingdom. He was about to enter a town. The people all lined the streets to welcome the king, to cheer him as he entered. There was a young man who suddenly stood in front of the whole procession to stop the king's carriage. And the guard stopped him. "What do you want?" And the young man said, "I want a special blessing from the king." And so the whole gesture shocked all the people in the town. But the king's reply stunned them completely. What did the king say? The king told the young man, "Come up to my carriage. Come to my palace. Eat at my table. Marry my daughter. Be my son-in-law." Everybody was stunned. And the young man was overjoyed at the prospects of being the son, the king's son-in-law. But suddenly, reality started to sink in. He realized that he needed to give up a lot. He had a lot of things to give up. He realized that he must give up his life of hanging out with his friends in the pub. He could no longer do so, and he must observe prim and proper court protocol. He realized that he could no longer wear old but comfortable peasant clothes, but have to clean his nails, wash his hair, take his bath, and wear royal clothes. And he realized all this would be too much for him to give up. And he told the king, "Sir, it is too much for me to live in the palace and to be your son-in-law. What if you just give me a plot of land and just a house to live in, and I will be satisfied?" That perhaps could be how some of us live our lives in light of God's victory. In the light of Christ's victory, we have a very limited vision of Christ's kingship. We have a very limited vision of Christ's victory. Instead, the theological vision before us is that we must realize the grandeur of Christ's victory, and we go forth to become recipients of his grace. Then and only then, we take our place in God's kingdom. Then and only then, we become a means of grace to one another. If that first theological vision is to realize the grandeur of Christ's victory and to be recipient of his grace, the second theological vision before us is to realize the generosity of Christ's gifts and to respond with gratitude. The generosity of Christ's gifts is given to us in verses 11 to 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That passage immediately poses a question. If every one of us in Christ is given at least one gift by the Holy Spirit to build up the one body of Christ, why did Paul specially mention different categories of people? Why did Paul specially mention different categories of people? And the answer is that they are Christ's gifts to the church. They are Christ's gifts to the church. And the way we arrive at that understanding is to compare Psalm 68, verse 18, with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Psalm 68, verse 18 says, when you ascended on high, you led captives in your train, you received gifts from men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So what is the significance of this difference between receiving gifts and giving gifts? Why do we even bother about these things? And if we bother about these things, we arrive at a deeper understanding of what Paul is trying to say. There are many ways to explain this, but one way to understand the difference between receiving gifts and giving gifts is to reconcile it together. Reconcile it. And this is how we reconcile it. In the Old Testament, God had received individuals for the purpose of giving them back as a gift to the people. For example, God took the Levites, Old Testament, and gave them as gifts to the Israelites. For this is what God says in Numbers chapter 18, verse 6. I myself have selected your fellow Levites from among the Israelites as a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord to do the work at the tent of meeting. That is referring to the tabernacle. So in the same way, the Apostle Paul saw a parallel between what God did and what Christ would do. Just as God gave the Levites as gifts to the Israelites, so likewise, Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers as gifts to the church. For the purpose of preparing God's people for works of service. So what then is the overall aim of our ministry? What then is the overall goal of our service? What then is the overall purpose of what all of us do week after week after week? The answer is in verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And this is how we understand this. Grace precedes gifts. Gifts promote godliness. Grasp this point, because this is the theological vision before us. And that godliness, according to the Apostle Paul, is expressed by faith in Christ, knowledge of Christ, maturity in Christ, and the fullness of Christ. How does it look like, therefore, for us to fulfill such a theological vision and to live out these principles? On this very day, 28 January, 38 years ago, 1986, a space shuttle launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, watched by millions of people on live TV, but barely a minute, just 73 seconds, that space shuttle exploded in mid-air. On that very day, on this very day, 38 years ago, the Challenger space shuttle exploded. It was the worst disaster in U.S. space program. And the then President, Ronald Reagan, launched a special commission to investigate what had gone wrong with the Challenger space shuttle. And the result of that special commission found out that the problem was not because a very sophisticated piece of equipment had failed. It was not because of that. Rather, it was because of an O-ring seal in one of the two rocket boosters had failed. Why did that seal fail that led to such a tragic disaster? Because the rubber seal in that cold winter temperature at the time of the launch was not elastic because it was cold on 28 January, on this very day, 38 years ago. And because of that, one thing led to another, setting off a chain reaction leading to the mid-air explosion. And that disaster would have been prevented if the seals had worked as expected. And that connection to what we are talking about today is clear. Just as every single piece of equipment in the Challenger space shuttle must work, each and every one of us, we do our part. Whether male or female, whether young or elderly, in every season, a station in life, we do our part. And since the beginning of the sermon series, we launched a church team, equipping God's people, advancing His kingdom. We have started the ministry open house, and we encourage you, visit the booth where God will lead you to a place of service. And that ministry open house will extend all the way to the middle of March, covering all the ministries that we can feature. And even at the end of the open house, you cannot find a place, I tell you what, you come to us and say, I cannot find a place. And we guarantee we find a place for you. Because each and every one of us must do our part. And even if you reach a certain season in life, when you feel that you need to step down from ministry for whatever reasons, we urge you, don't retire completely. But change your tire. You change your tire, you retire for a new ministry. Because when you completely retire from ministry, that part of the body will suffer. Just as the O-ring seal, when it did not work, the whole shutter exploded. So let us go forth as we set before us a theological vision to grasp and realize the grandeur of Christ's victory and be recipient of His grace, and to realize the generosity of Christ's gifts and to respond with gratitude. A few years ago, I saw this fascinating picture in the Straits Times of a man on a skateboard going up a ramp. From the way that the photo was taken, it looked as though it was like a magic show. Because what you see in that photo was a man floating in mid-air with half his body hidden. It looked like a magic show. But it was not a magic show. This man from Venezuela by the name of Alfonso Mendoza was born without legs. Without legs. Abandoned by his parents, bullied by his classmates, he despaired of life until a classmate gave him a skateboard. Skateboard for what? So that he could get around without having to depend on a wheelchair. And like many in Venezuela trying to escape poverty, he crossed the dangerous border into Colombia, where he found a new life, doing skateboard stunts, surfing the waves, and being a motivational speaker, giving talks to young people. That despite his trials and difficulties, he recognized what God had given to him. And at all his talks, he would always say, God didn't give me legs, but he replaced them with talents. So likewise, with all that God has given to us, let us be rooted in grace and respond with gratitude. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to God. My brothers and sisters, with all that God has given to us, our time, our talents, our treasures, all of our life, we must realize that the greatest privilege in this life is to know Christ, to love Christ, and to serve Christ. Whatever season of life you are in, whatever station of life you might be, there are choices to be made. But before you is a theological vision. And we invite you, urge you, encourage you, grasp and realize the grandeur of Christ's victory, and to realize the generosity of Christ's gift and what it means for us to live in the light of that grandeur, in the light of that generosity. And may this song lead us to offer our lives again, afresh, in this sermon series for the work that God has specially prepared for you.